Terry McCormick, publisher with TitanInsider.com. Terry, as always, we appreciate you and a busy time. And I'm really curious to get your thoughts as far as free agency this year. I mean, it just seems like everything was already out there before the official period even began.
Yeah, I think that's a product more and more of the what's termed the legal tampering period, where teams can openly negotiate with guys whose contracts are expiring. You know, that was done to prevent the illegal tampering, I guess, that was going on for a number of years behind the scenes, where guys, you know, 3 hours into free agency were signing, you know, mega deals, and people were going, well, how did that get worked out so quickly without somebody doing something under the table? So it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times the big names go quickly, and if you want, you know, the big-time players in free agency, you have to strike within the first 24 hours or so of the negotiating period, and certainly the Titans were able to do that with two of the guys that they got, in Malcolm Butler and Deion Lewis.
All right, let's talk about Malcolm Butler and Deion Lewis and what they mean to the Titans as far as 2018. First, we look at Butler. We know his reputation, his resume, you know, what he was able to do in the Super Bowl to seal that to seal the victory over the Seahawks. He obviously adds an extra dimension to that secondary, and matching up with Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Kevin Byard, a pretty special secondary when you start looking at that talent.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was, you know, when you watched the secondary play last year, there was still a missing ingredient or two, and I think they feel like Malcolm Butler can be that guy, because now they're going to be able to play a lot of man-to-man style defense like Dean Pease likes to do, like Mike Vrabel likes to do, and they're going to be able to match up and use that from the nickel position, where they'll have probably Logan Ryan in the slot, Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson on the outside. And then the other thing it does, too, it slides everybody else down a notch. So you've got guys like LaShawn Sims, who's got quite a bit of experience, Ty Smith, who got some experience last year, Kalen Reed, who got a little taste of things last year, guys who may not be ready for starting roles but are quality backups. And I think that's something you have to have in a secondary. You got to have more than just your first three guys. So now I think you're starting to look at, you know, putting Malcolm Butler at the top pushes everybody else in the rankings down a notch, and it gives you, you know, confidence that you can go four or five deep at the cornerback position and you can get by even if you do have some injuries.
Also, look at the moves as far as, first, we talk about offensive guard Josh Klein agreeing to terms to a new contract, an offer as far as a contract to restricted free agent Quentin Spain is out there, and in addition, the Titans signed defensive end David King. So talk about those three as well.
Yeah, that's kind of some housekeeping details there, where the Titans decided to bring back the offensive line intact, or at least that looks like the plan. Josh Klein getting a four-year extension worth about $26 million with, I think, $12 million guaranteed. So a nice deal for him as he slides back into the right guard position. Quentin Spain, now, you know, a team could make a run at him. He was tendered at the lowest level of just over $1.9 million. As an undrafted free agent when he came into the league, if another team signed Spain to an offer sheet, the Titans would have the right to match that deal. But if they choose not to match a deal from another club, they would not receive any compensation because he was not a draft pick.
Right.
And then you're talking about David King. He's a guy who was brought in here last year from Kansas City. They gave up this year's seventh-round pick in order to acquire him. He signed a one-year deal. I believe the Titans said he was an exclusive rights free agent. I think there was some question as to whether he was restricted or an exclusive rights free agent. Exclusive rights free agents are guys that, just like what it sounds like, those are guys that if you want them back, you know, make the offer that's mandated by the CBA, the salary amount, and the guy signs it and he's yours. So David King back on a one-year deal with the Titans. He'll provide some depth on the defensive line again.
If you would too, and I don't know if it is, I just don't recall this ever being out there, but the fact that like a Kevin Byard finding out today, getting rewarded with bonus money because of his productivity in 2017 on the field as mandated by, I guess, I don't know exactly how complicated the formula is. Only thing I know is Kevin Byard a few extra $100,000 in his bank account.
Right, and Quentin Spain actually got a few, like over $400,000. I think it was like $480,000-something. He would actually earn the most extra money. And I think it's something that's been in the CBA for a number of years. Allows players who, especially early in their contracts, you know, still in their rookie contract, to be able to have performance incentives and earn some extra money if they exceed, you know, some of the things that were initially in the deal with their play.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, makes you also wonder, okay, what about those that underperform? Do they have to give money back? But just throwing that out there.
No, my guess is not.
No, I didn't think so either. All right, so as far as where we stand right now, first of all, at this time yesterday, we just kind of assumed that the Titans were going to be very quiet, except maybe, you know, taking care of business as far as housekeeping with the offensive line. But obviously, John Robinson had a plan. He knew who he was going after. And 30 minutes later, he initiated one of those big moves with Malcolm Butler. And then shortly thereafter, getting things worked out with Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously he felt that the Titans needed some, you know, an extra player at cornerback and needed somebody who could be, you know, that top guy, that number one shutdown type corner that the Titans really have lacked maybe since, you know, Cortland Finnegan was in his heyday, or maybe even going back to Samari Roll. So if Malcolm Butler lives up to expectations, then certainly, you know, he's going to play a big role for the Titans. And you're right, you know, in terms of John Robinson, he just kind of knew a couple of areas where he wanted to go quickly and knew that he would have to act quickly. And I think that's probably why he went ahead and you know, got those deals done. He obviously has some familiarity with both of those guys from his time with the New England Patriots as a scout.
Do you feel like he has all the freedom in the world with regards to the money and the salary cap space that we're talking about? You know, obviously looking ahead, there's going to be the issues of getting a long-term deal with Taylor Lewan, Marcus Mariota's down the road as well. But for the most part, do you get the gut feeling that he's got more or less complete freedom?
Yeah, I think for the most part. I mean, you know, the Titans came in to, after making a few roster moves, you know, when they got rid of DeMarco Murray and Matt Castle and a couple of other players, you know, before free agency began, it gave them, you know, a few extra million to go, and it pushed them right around $60 million of cap space to spend. And I think, you know, obviously he doesn't want to be, you know, silly with it, but I think he is, you know, certainly, you know, has the freedom and the authority to use that money how he sees fit. I think Amy Adams Strunk, the controlling owner, and the rest of the Adams family, I think they trust what John Robinson is doing and trying to build this team, and they've pretty much given him the green light to do what he thinks is best. Now, obviously, with that comes a lot of responsibility. So, obviously, you know, if moves don't work out and the organization starts taking steps backwards, then, you know, there will be someone to answer to. But right now, you know, it's obvious that John Robinson has a lot of freedom within this organization to do what he feels needs to be done.
You know, we talked about this with Matt Castle getting released. So there's certainly, and there's going to be the need anyway, based on we look back as far as from a performance standpoint, need somebody to come in either to fill in if Marcus Mariota is out, but also on the other part of that, being able to push Marcus Mariota, make him better day in and day out. Which direction now do you feel like the Titans will go with regards to the backup quarterback spot?
Well, that's a good question. You know, when John Robinson was asked that, and Mike Vrabel were asked that at the combine, they, you know, acted as though they wanted somebody who's won some games at the NFL level to be that number two quarterback to kind of fill in if Marcus Mariota were to go down with an injury. I think, you know, excuse me, you look at, you know, some of the people that are out there. Most of the starting caliber quarterbacks are gone. The guys who are left are pretty much backup type quarterbacks. You know, I don't think any of those guys are going to break the bank. It's just a matter of finding the one you feel like is the best fit. And, you know, and with only six draft picks this year, maybe this is not the year, or maybe it is if they can trade around and get some more draft picks. Maybe this is the year where, you know, you go with a veteran for a year or two as a backup, and maybe you draft and try to develop a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick to eventually be the backup to Marcus Mariota, a guy who maybe has a similar skill set, has some mobility and has some experience in the spread offense and that sort of thing.
You know, I remember when Russell Wilson was drafted by Seattle. He wasn't drafted to win the starting job, but that didn't stop Russell Wilson from what? Winning the starting job. You know, is there a quarterback out there? I mean, I'm still looking at the quarterback names, and certainly there have been a lot of money thrown around, but, you know, that name, A.J. McCarron, is still out there. And so I'm just, you know, from a standpoint of, first of all, what would it take to get him in? But what would he do to the dynamics as far as this Titans offense is concerned?
Well, I think, you know, if you go and you look at a guy like McCarron, then certainly you are upgrading the backup quarterback position. You know, I still believe that this team is very much committed to Marcus Mariota being the franchise quarterback. You know, even though Mariota seemingly took a step back last year in terms of his statistics and the number of interceptions thrown and those sorts of things, you know, a guy like A.J. McCarron, yes, I know, you know, people in this part of the country are still enamored with him because he was able to win two national championships at Alabama. But as an NFL quarterback, he's still very unproven except for spot duty here and there with the Bengals. So I think if you were to go out and, you know, make a serious offer for a guy like McCarron, I think he would have to feel like that he'd have to be comfortable with being a backup, because there's probably, you know, barring a serious injury to Marcus Mariota, there's probably not a whole lot of opportunity to become the permanent starter here.
Well, you know, and you say that. However, if somebody comes in, I don't care what other position you're talking about, but if somebody comes in and outplays that person and is so noticeable to everyone involved, it would be very tough not to give that person an opportunity.
That's true. I mean, that is very true, you know, and, you know, I think, you know, that would be something that's kind of a hypothetical. You have to kind of, it remains to be seen, that sort of thing. But it is interesting that, you know, a guy like McCarron, you know, is looking for an opportunity to start, you know, there, and those opportunities seem to be kind of drying up. It would be interesting to see, you know, where he wants to go to try and create that opportunity for himself. You know, but right now, to me, you know, the Titans would not seem to be that opportunity.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. If you ask A.J. McCarron, do you feel like you're better than Marcus Mariota? He's going to tell you, yes, I do believe that. And look, no offense to Marcus Mariota, but, you know, here's somebody that's never really had to earn the job per se. You know, he's never really been pushed since he's been a part of this Titans organization. And so, I mean, no, Zach Mettenberger, give me a break. Matt Castle, no thank you. So I just looking ahead, you know, the jury is still out. And here's the thing. I think it's important, too, to bring somebody in that will push Marcus Mariota, because what's looming down the road? Yeah, I understand you can do a franchise tag and all that, but what's looming is, do you invest for a long-term contract in somebody if you're not totally convinced that they're your guy?
Well, I think that's why the 2018 season is such a big deal for Mariota. I think, you know, I think the Titans believe that he is going to be their, you know, long-term answer quarterback. It's why they drafted him number two overall. It's, you know, it's based off of the season he had in 2016. But, you know, if were he to take another step backwards this year, then certainly, you know, all bets are off. But right now, I think they have every intention of Marcus Mariota being their starting quarterback, not only this year, but long term. By the way, there's some breaking news. Daquan Jones has re-upped with the Titans.
Perfect. Wide receiver, it's one of those things where you look at the free agent market and there's a lot of question marks. In fact, more question marks than the as far as individuals that you think that can help immediately as far as your team is concerned. And you wonder, with regards to the draft, is there anybody there that you can be 100% sold on? I'm really interested to see exactly what John Robinson does with the wide receiver spots, and this is maybe an area that you address with a trade somewhere.
It's possible. The receiver position probably does need help, maybe in the form of a veteran, because other than Rishard Matthews, you know, you've got a bunch of young guys there. You've got, you know, there are two guys who were rookies last year in Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor, who had, you know, varying degrees of success. They really didn't, perform as most people had hoped that they would. There's certainly doubt as to whether Eric Decker would be brought back for another year. At this point, I would be more inclined to say probably not.
Right.
And then you've got Tajay Sharpe coming off the injury that cost him all of last season, and you wonder how he'll do in returning. So you've got four receivers on the roster, and really Rishard Matthews is the only one with any proven track record of any measure, and he really kind of fits more as a number two receiver. Corey Davis, you know, is the guy that they would like to be their number one, but certainly this team needs to add at least one more receiver to be in that rotation. And I think, you know, as you do that, you know, to me, I think you want to add a veteran who can kind of help Matthews command the room, a guy that's been there and done that. You know, obviously, you know, this year's wide receiver free agent class, other than Allen Robinson and Jarvis Landry, one franchise, one already signed by another team. Those guys, you know, don't really exactly, you know, jump out at you and say, boy, you got to have this guy. You know, anybody that has been put out there, like, Jeremy Maclin or Jordy Nelson, you know, those are guys that have been around the block. They're probably on the backside of their career, not going to be as productive. You know, the Titans have been down that road many, many times in the past, you know, with, you know, guys who are at the end of their career, everybody from Randy Moss to Andre Johnson to Eric Mould. And, you know, it's been very limited in the amount of success that they've had. You know, the fact of the matter is, really good wide receivers don't get to the free agent market very often. They're kind of like
right.
Really good pass rushers. So I think, you know, maybe you bring in a guy and you hope for the best, maybe a guy who's been a little bit underused somewhere, and you get something out of him, like a Nate Washington was when he came here and played, pretty well for the Titans. But it's certainly a roll of the dice and certainly been a position of need for a long, long time.
Before we let you go, remind the listeners again what they can expect when they go to TitanInsider.com.
Well, you can expect up-to-date free agent coverage. I'm about to sit down and work on the Daquan Jones story about him re-signing, and I'll have that up here within a matter of minutes at TitanInsider.com.
We appreciate
or on Twitter at TerryMC13.
We appreciate you, Terry. Have a wonderful night, wonderful rest of the week. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.